Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Spoken Heard. I'm Susan Dovey Chase, and today I'm thrilled to bring you Miss Susie Q. Smith. Hi, how are you?
Hello, Susan. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I hope that you are too. I'm really looking forward to today's show. I've heard your work before. I have admired you for a long, long time, and I am so looking forward to talking to you one-on-one today.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm really looking forward to today's call.
Well, good. I'm really glad. I know that this is a super busy time of year for you, so thank you so much for fitting into the schedule. Why don't you tell us a little bit about all the hats you're wearing right now?
Well, I write poetry and perform and travel a bit doing that. So that's part of it. You know, my first job, I think, is as a poet. I also teach poetry in high school, so I start teaching again this coming week in Denver, in a couple of Denver public high schools. And then I'm also the executive director of Poetry Slam, Inc. So we just wrapped the National Poetry Slam, and we're getting ready now for the individual World Poetry Slam that's going to happen in October in Flagstaff, Arizona, and as well as next year's National Poetry Slam, which is going to be held in my city of Denver, Colorado. So it's a busy, busy time, and it's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Well, excellent. When you said that you teach poetry in high schools, are you like an artist in residence who goes to many different high schools, or do you teach English in a high school particularly?
It's more like an artist in residence program. So I work with an organization. It's a nonprofit organization that partners with local area high schools to send professional artists to work in different schools. So I'll be teaching in a couple of different schools this coming quarter.
In the Denver area?
It is, yes. So I spent some time over the summer. I got to work with a high school that is exclusive to teen moms. So I got to spend part of my summer writing poems with teen moms, and that was really exciting. I'm also a mother, and I was pretty young when I became one, so I related to them pretty heavily. And now my own daughter is entering her senior year of high school tomorrow.
Oh, my. Oh, so, how does that feel, Mama?
Really terrifying. Terrifying. But I'm also very proud of it.
Yeah, it's such a big step.
It really is. I'm grateful that we have this one more year that she gets to be at home with me.
Yeah. Well, good luck getting through that. I know that the ties that bind are so strong between mother and child, and take a deep breath and try to get through it. I know that it's something that probably would bring me to tears, you know, just to know that there's one more year and then you won't see her as often. I imagine that is a very big deal.
Well, I'm thinking about a new career as maybe a cafeteria worker so that I can move to wherever she goes to college and work in the dorm. Is that something so I can see her and go feed her breakfast?
Oh, that's funny. You'd have to be incognito, wear a mustache or something, so she wouldn't know it was you every day. So tell me a little bit more about what you're doing with the Youth Poetry Slam. You mentioned it. I'd love to know what you're doing with your team.
Well, with the Youth Poetry Slam, I'm not officially a coach anymore. I have sort of graduated from that role. It's been very important to myself and my dear friend Ken Arkind, who is one of the founding members of Denver Mind of the Servant, to hand it to the youth. So Ken moved to New Zealand, and we realized we needed another plan. He did. So he's been there for almost 2 years now. And so we spent a good couple of years preparing the alumni of the Minor Disturbance Youth Poetry Slam organization to take over. So that organization is now completely run by Minor Disturbance. It's a youth-led, youth-driven organization, and they're doing incredible work. I'm very proud of them. I still step in, and I call myself a snack lady, and I step into practices here and there and help out with what I can help out with. But really, I'm only involved as, you know, as a guide, as an advisor, as a supporter.
That's wonderful, you know, that you can be an adjunct, that you can walk in and do your thing and then not have to. Because with all the traveling that you do and with different high schools that you go to, I imagine that you're doing a lot all the time of getting to know new people and new places and trying to fit the needs of whatever population you're dealing with at the time. And I'm sure that that's a bit exhausting, you know, and you're always eating out and flying somewhere or driving somewhere. And
it's definitely exhausting. It does.
Yeah.
I think I'm very, very intentional around time management and boundaries so that I can do the things that I want and need to get done without exhausting myself too much. So I'm very good at
I'm really
being
glad.
Home when I'm home.
Oh, good. Just focusing on what you need to do while you're there. What does your daughter do when you're on the road?
She generally stays with family. I have a village here. I come from a big family, so I have two sisters and a brother and a grandmother and many cousins that all live here in Denver. So she's always very well taken care of when I'm away.
Well, that's good. That's good. Have you always been from Denver? Have you lived other places?
Oh, Denver is it. Born and raised. I'm
Denver's
one of the seven or eight people from Denver. It's a very strong transplant
Denver's
city,
a
so it's
beautiful
rare to.
City.
It really is. It's being from here is a rare thing. I find more and more because it is such a transplant city, especially over the last 10 years, where the growth is just in the last 5 years, in the last 2 years, the growth is just exponential.
Yeah.
So it's a changing city, and the Denver that I grew up in doesn't exist anymore. So it's a very different city now than it was when I was growing up, but it is home.
In what ways has it changed?
It's much larger. It's a lot shinier, I think. It's definitely more expensive. There are a lot more people here now. It's faster.
To get from place to place?
And just bigger. Just the pace of the city in general, I think, is faster. I think it has to be faster. But there's more traffic now for sure. Still better than a lot of other cities, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was wondering if I could ask you to read one of your poems to start us out today.
I would be happy to. So this is, when it comes to my poems, I generally always have crushes on the newest poems the most. This one is still pretty new. And it's called Mustangs. I've been really trying, baby, trying to hold back this feeling for so long. And if you feel like I feel, baby, come on. Oh, come on. Janice Hunter was a 17-year-old high school student when 34-year-old Marvin Gaye crooned her open. When you type Janice Hunter into Wikipedia, it forcibly redirects to Marvin Gaye's page. He is, after all, the only reason we know her name. When you Google Janice Hunter, the first result is the headline, Marvin Gaye's wife reveals how he tortured her. She still speaks of loving him. Does she still have a name? Lori Maddox was a 15-year-old virgin when 27-year-old David Bowie groomed her wide open for Jimmy Page to follow, then Mick Jagger, who sang to her of Wild Horses. And, of course, young girls are mustangs. From the Spanish, mustango, meaning ownerless beast, mustangs have no natural predators but the men who catch and break them. Childhood living is easy to do. To break a wild horse, first you must gain its trust. Sing to it. Call it pretty until you mount. Get the reins on quickly. Wild beasts must be controlled from the head. Give it a new name, something easy for you to say, like baby. She will forget she ever owned the wind. I was 13 when the first man boy tried to tell me he loved me. He was 20. I pretended not to hear him and hung up. I was 15 when the second man boy tried to tell me he loved me. He was 20. I pretended not to hear him and hung up. I was 16 when the third man boy tried to tell me he loved me. He was much older than 20. I pretended not to hear him and hung up. And how they loved me. Called me muse, watching me playful in open fields. Fame makes a man take things over. Called me quiet, teasing with handfuls of oats. Fame, what you like is in the limo. Called me beautiful until I stopped kicking. Called me theirs. Called it love. Is it any wonder? Say, there's nothing wrong with me loving you. There's nothing wrong with me loving you. There's nothing wrong with me loving you. Say it like a mantra until it feels true. Until the saddle feels like skin. Until the yoke feels like religion. There's nothing wrong with me loving you. Does love mean to lasso a feral mare? Does love ride bareback and call itself quick? Does love mean to harness the thunder in my hips until it all feels yours? Does love always catch around the throat or is a bit in the mouth like so? The first time I told a man I loved him, I coughed up a rusted chain and a collar. I traced it with my tongue and found my own name already engraved there, just below my mother's. Wild, wild horses will ride them someday. So that's Mustang. Can you tell that I'm the mother of
I love it. Wow. How old were you when you had your daughter? Does this correspond to that?
20 when she was born. I was 19 when I got pregnant with my daughter.
And was the father much older, as you kind of indicated in this poem?
Not in that scenario, no. I think he was 25, and I think intellectually we were very much the same age.
Uh-huh.
But I was very, very much an adult when I was 19.
Go ahead, please.
Oh, sorry. When I was 19, I was definitely an adult. I had a full-time job with benefits. I had an office with a door I could close. I had my own home, my own car, et cetera. So, I was definitely a grown-up 19. So it's very, very different than a lot of the young moms that I know now. I'm like, oh, wow, no, you're... when I think of my nieces and nephews, I'm like, no, you guys are babies, though. It's very different.
Yeah. Right. And I'm sure you didn't look at yourself that way. What was your job at that time with the door that closed in the car of your own?
I worked for the Urban League, which is a civil rights organization. I was the director of community affairs and special events.
Wow. At that age, that's quite the achievement.
Well, I was born 30, so I've been 30 my entire life. That's really what's true.
I love it.
My mother
agrees.
You
have a beautiful voice, and you sing in that poem. Do you? I think that you've been performing both as a poet and a singer, right?
True. Yes.
Yeah.
I do. So the organization that I work with in Denver to teach with is called Youth on Record. And it's actually a music education program. So we teach music, lyricism, spoken word, poetry, et cetera. But the focus is really music. So that's a lot of different things. I've done a lot of different kinds of singing. I trained in opera for a couple of years. I trained in jazz for a couple of years. I've been singing around the piano with my grandmother since I can remember, and also writing poetry since then as well.
Wow.
So that
you
were very married in my mind.
Yeah. Did you start the music and the poetry at about the same time in your life?
Probably.
I
think I've always done both. I can't remember a time where I wasn't both singing and writing poetry.
Well, I think that you're an amazing writer, and it must have been years and years in the making, and I really, really think that given that you started doing important things at such a young age, it just gets so into what you're doing with the National Poetry Slam being in Denver next year. And you compete at IWIPS every year, right?
I can't compete anymore since I've taken the executive director position. So I have competed in the Women of the World Poetry Slam, the Individual World Poetry Slam, and the National Poetry Slam. So I've gotten to be a finalist a few times. And now as the executive director and running the organization, there just is really a possibility for me to compete as well. I did get to compete in a regional recently because I don't run that. So I got to compete in the Southwest Shootout over the summer, so that was really fun. Because that's not run by PSI. So that was great. I got to bring home a little trophy. So it's a spray, it's a gold spray painted plastic gun from the Southwest Shootout.
Nice. I love it for the shootout. That's wonderful. So how did you get into being the executive director of Poetry Slam International or PSI?
Well, I started as a poet with the organization, and then I wanted to bring an event to my city. So I brought the Women of the World Poetry Slam to Denver in 2012, and that's how I started working with them on an organizational level. From there, I went to being on the executive council, which is basically their board of directors, and I did that for a couple of years. And then our executive director resigned, and it just kind of naturally became my role. So, you know, I had to go through an interview process and get hired and et cetera, but now it's been a little over 2 years.
That's wonderful. I was wondering if I could get you to read a second poem. This is going so quickly. We're a little bit past halfway through the show.
I would be happy to. Another thing that I did recently, I got together with a few of my poet friends and we wrote a play together that's all written in the language of poetry. So it did really well. It was it was performed at the Denver Performing Arts Complex. We had only sold out shows. We had an extra show. It was really, really great to see people come out for poetry. And so the show is called How I Got Over, and this was part of that show. So it's called When the Halo Ain't Enough. I learned that my hair was a jungle almost as soon as I remember being able to know anything. Uncivilized as any place could be, knotted vines conspiring, overthrowing colonizers at the first hint of moisture, it wanted to be itself. It did not understand what everyone else knew about what was wrong with it. Amid Denver's tidy square blocks and discreet desert air, it did not make sense. Our fair skin, our white mother prepared no one for this insistent, screeching alarm. Our mother bought special conditioner for the weekends we spent with her. She said it would work well on damaged hair. Showed me the bottle, pointed at the word damaged, said it twice. I understood, folded my mouth into two neat braids. Sat still as a young toad pretending to be a leaf. My first white friend at a fourth grade sleepover said, I don't know how you do it. I would just kill myself if I had your hair. I knew it was a wild thing, my lion's mane, a roaring, intractable heat. Have you ever just tried straightening it? She did not know how much of my history had been burned into the teeth of Nanotaco. Did not know that the humid breath of my hair would apologize to everyone if it knew how. Eventually, when my hair becomes itself again, they will all say how much they love it. Some will even try to touch it. They will believe in the value of their affirmation, like forgiveness is both a question and an answer, a young tree forgetting the forest fire until its roots slide away in the rain. I will have long since stopped listening to any voice but my own.
Wow. Lovely and real. Just so real. Who were the other two friends that also wrote the play with you?
There were four, and one kind of participated via video because early on in the writing process, she discovered that she was pregnant with her first child. So the theater company got very creative about filming her. So she sort of became a filmed narrator because she was due opening weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
So she became the show's director and also a contributor in some other ways. So that was Bianca McCann, who is a dear friend of mine and also a writer, a rapper, producer, and a teacher and did a lot of amazing things here in Denver. Also Janae Elise, who is a writer and also sings in a punk band and teaches preschool. She does a lot of different, and she's also a certified chef. So those are a lot of things she has. Rolanda Simmons, who is a poet and a jazz singer and a life coach.
Yeah.
And also Toluwani Mi Obiwole, she is Denver's first youth poet laureate. And she's a brilliant poet and a student, and she's doing all kinds of incredible things. It's delightful watching her take over the world.
Fantastic, an all-woman writing team. Is the play about women solely?
It is about our shared experiences. It has specific themes. But I think that we all had very, different approaches to writing and different stories to tell. It talked about a lot of different themes. So I can talk about some of those things being, the pressures around hair and beauty. So the entire cast, it's written, performed, and directed by Black women. So talking about those different relationships with beauty standards, Westernized beauty standards, sort of the normalization of hair and what that means. And what that does, and sort of growing up with. Also our relationships with family, our relationships with church, our relationships with a lot of different, so it dealt with some pretty large concepts. Talked about mental health, talked about a lot of different things, and just our overall, processes in surviving a lot of the things that we get given to survive.
Will it be performed or has it been performed in places other than Denver?
We shall see. That's going to be, theater companies generally book their seasons out, a good year or two in advance. So
yes,
we'll see where everyone is in another year. There will definitely be another run in Denver. And if touring the show ends up being, a possibility, it's something I think that we all have some interest in. But again, we all have such incredibly busy lives that getting the original cast together can be challenging even for one show. So
yes,
there's a lot of really beautiful things that come out of working collaboratively with people. But
yes,
schedules are a real thing.
So that's very exciting. What other events, places, stuff do you have, like merchandise? Where can we get more of Suzy Q. Smith?
SuzyQSmith.com. Which I'm very proud of because I built it myself, and I'm not a website designer, and I made my own website. And recently, maybe a couple of months ago, that I finally built it, and I'm very proud of it. You can see upcoming shows or listen to poems or music or find books that are available, et cetera, et cetera. Workshops. I also teach workshops for adults. So that's something that's happening. I'm currently in the midst of one of them that will be happening this afternoon. So,
how exciting. So, you have been a leader in the Poetry Slam movement in your area. How has the Poetry Slam changed along with Denver?
I think that it changes all the time. The nature of Poetry Slam is so, nomadic in some ways. People move through it, and it's you get new blood all the time. And I think that's part of it is the competition brings that out.
Yes.
So when it comes to choosing slam teams in particular, you don't get to choose who your team is. The audience chooses that for you. So it takes the people with the highest scores, and then suddenly you're kind of thrown into the space to work together. So the audience is going to select new people all the time, every year. So you always find new people coming in. And my focus is definitely on keeping people engaged and feeling good about their work and community. I think that for those of us that are the slam organizers in Denver, the community is much, much more important to us than the art, than anything. It's really, really people first. And so, we work really hard to maintain healthy relationships amongst all of the members of our Poetry Slam community locally. And and then from there, we write poems. From there, we do tournaments and we go compete and do all these other things. So I think that's been, I think it's a lot more nurturing now than it was when I first came in 10 years ago. And that's something that I worked to bring and continue to, do my best to maintain. Making sure that in the midst of competition that it is a welcoming space and that people feel good and confident in sharing their words.
Yes. And I wanted to go back just for a second because I want to make sure that people know how to spell Suzy Q. Smith. It's all lowercase, yes?
Yes.
.com?
S-U-Z-I.
Yes. It,
yes.
Yeah.
S-U-Z-I-Q.
Yeah, excellent.
Smith.
Great, great. And do you have the dates and times of different slams around the Denver area or open mics and that sort of thing on your website as well?
I do not have that on my website.
So on my
website, you're only going to find things that I'm personally going to be present at. And many, many of the open mics and slams in Denver, there are so many that I can't possibly make it to all of them with all of the hats that I wear. So I can tell you that there's a poetry slam at the Mercury Cafe every Sunday night. I can tell you that Slam Nuba is the last Friday of every month at Crossroads Theater. So those are some exciting things. I can tell you that the National Poetry Slam is going to be in Denver for the first time, August 7th to the 12th, 2017. So that's very exciting.
What a wonderful thing to see. If you are an audience member at all, just so incredibly inspiring. It's really a wonderful thing. And I know that the Denver Mercury and Nuba slams have been very, very popular in the past and have won different awards at the National Poetry Slam, et cetera.
Indeed.
So those are places, too, where you can find it. Slam Nuba is N-U-B-A. Otherwise, Mercury Cafe. So
yes,
for those of you who are interested in participating or listening. I'm sorry, Susie, I was talking right on top of you.
Oh, no, go ahead. Sorry. I was just saying they're both very thriving communities and steady audiences. And both of them, you're correct, they're both National Poetry Slam champion venues. And we're very proud of them. And you'll find the relationships between the venues in Denver is also very healthy and steady, which brings me joy.
Yeah, and what a trick to get that to happen where, it's not really competitive. It nurtures everyone's growth through the different venues. And I think that in itself makes Denver a lot different than a lot of other places where Poetry Slam is being practiced.
Well, I think it depends on really the relationship that people bring to their concept of competition and what that means. And it can mean a lot of different things to a lot of people.
Yes,
but I think the
yes.
ultimate win is winning a beautiful community that loves you and is invested in your growth and health as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
well,
much
we're
more
down
important
to
than,
about
you know,
two
a 9.7.
And a half minute.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I would love it if I could get you to read us out of the show.
Okay, I would be happy to. So I'm going to read this one because tomorrow is my stepfather's birthday. So this is one that I wrote for him. It's called My Stepfather is Not the Kind of Man Who Weeps. When we heard that your mother was dying, we stood in silence until the truth rooted itself into our back teeth and all we could taste was the silent agony of knowing. I heaved the big skillet onto the flame, coaxed the Crisco down from the top of the pantry, dropped generous spoonfuls until it shined a welcome. This is how we family sometimes. Grandmother's whispering in paprika pinches and dry mustard dash, recipe woven into creases of calloused hands. A cluster of collards cooked slow when we need to spill. A touch of cumin or cayenne when it is time again to move. A peeled potato for every word caught just behind a throat's tickle. My stepfather is not the kind of man who weeps. He stares into the mossy grass, silently says, Earth, if you open your mouth and call me home, I will fold easy into your sturdy batter. I will swell and stiffen to a cake of you, and I will rest. His shoulders do not shake.
Wow. Just beautiful. As is, everything that I've ever heard of yours, always profound, always beautiful, always with a unique angle on things, and I'm really glad that you were able to perform here today and speak to us.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Susan. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for hosting this show.
Thank you. I look
Enjoy
at myself
the rest
kind
of your
of
Sunday.
Part of this. Thanks, you
yeah,
too.
It matters.
This is Susan
It really
W.
matters.
Yes, yes. This is Susan W. Chase. My guest was Susie Q. Smith. Until next week, be kind to one another.